eternity. In this little clip, this clip comes from the movie The Gladiator, released in the year 2000. And the character played by Russell Crowe was General Maximus Decimus Meridius, and he utters some famous words to his troops before battle. He says, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." I really love this quote because it resonates with what the Bible says about life and eternity. Life is short, eternity is long, but what we do in life, what we do in life matters. This life right now that we're living, that Karen talked about, this little piece of time in the midst of eternity, this life, it matters in eternity. And I want to be part of something that makes a difference for eternity, and I'm sure you do, and that's why you're here at the conference today. That's why you've been a part of what's been going on last Sunday, last night, today. You want to be a part of something that makes a difference in eternity. How wonderful to see what Alan and others are doing right there in Uganda. And when we think about just the lives that are being impacted from generation to generation through education, it's phenomenal. And we get to play a part in making an eternal difference in people's lives. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, we're reminded that we were made from dust and to dust we will return. However, in between is a whole life to be lived according to God's plan and purpose for us. How did Karen put that last night? She said something like, we only have one life. We better live it well. Live something like that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago." God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. I think it was our brother from Adam from Open Doors that said, don't stop doing what is good. Keep doing good. God's got good plans for us, things that He planned for us long ago. In Christ, we don't just have purpose, we have eternal purpose. A lot of people are looking for purpose, and they're finding purpose in this cause and that cause. But is it eternal purpose? And in Christ we have that, and it's recorded in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Our purpose in Christ is indeed an eternal purpose. And our purpose includes all nations, as Matt has reminded us several times this conference. Recently, I had the privilege of spending some time with Pastor Matthew Tapus, who's currently the Deputy Superintendent of Christian Apostolic Fellowship in Papua New Guinea. We had our National Ministries and Leaders Conference, that's Acts Global Churches, formerly Apostolic Church. Our movement, Acts Global Churches, had their Ministry and Leaders Conference in the Gold Coast in May, and representing Papua New Guinea, Matthew was there together with his wife Linda. And I got to sit down with Matthew and just get an update of what God is doing through the apostolic movement in Papua New Guinea. And so he brought me up to date with some of the statistics. And I'm really interested in this because this movement was planted by the Apostolic Church in Australia and New Zealand in the 1950s, late 1950s, early 1960s. And so here we are, so so 1960s to now, what are we talking? It's nearly 70 years old or more. And what an amazing journey that movement has been on. And so I've been interested in that. And he says right now in Papua New Guinea, a relatively small nation in the world, the Christian Apostolic Fellowship alone has 500 local churches scattered across the island. 15 health clinics in remote parts of Papua New Guinea. 10 schools that, from primary school through to high school, 600 employed pastors, and over 100,000 members of Christian Apostolic Fellowship in the little nation of Papua New Guinea. You know, when we hear statistics like this, we find them interesting, we find them encouraging, but sadly, I've found that news like this doesn't always translate into an insatiable passion for global mission in the hearts of believers. And that led me to ask myself some questions. Why am I so passionate about making Jesus' last command my first priority? Why is it that the concept of all nations is such a motivating force in my life? Why is the Advance Conference not just another weekend or weekends or just another conference to me? Why is it not an option to me whether I attend or not attend? And in our Dream Builders Network, I've had the privilege of attending just about all of the Advance Conferences, starting in Darwin, through to Western Australia, to Perth, to Melbourne, and here. What a privilege it is to be a part of that. But I say, why is it not an option for me whether I attend or am a part of that or not? Why is it not an option for me whether I participate in Faith Promise Giving, this little wonderful tool that God has blessed us at Dream Builders Churches with, this tool to advance the cause of Christ in the world? Why is it not an option to me whether I fill this out or not? Oh, this year I will. No, next year I won't. I don't know if I will right now. I can't do it this year. It's just not an option for me. And I'm saying, why is it? Why is it not an option? Well, it's because of legacy invested in me by the previous generation. That's what I've answered to these questions. What's the difference? It's legacy that's been invested in me. As some of you would be aware, my dad, John W.J. Hewitt, went to be with his Lord and Savior Jesus on December the 10th, 2022. Doesn't seem that long ago. Pastor John was not only my dad, he was my spiritual mentor and a hero of the faith. Heroes of the faith are everyday people who simply say yes to God. And they open their hearts and their lives to God, allowing Him to do His work in and through them. They are people who embrace their God-given gifts by faith and refuse to allow themselves to be persuaded by fear or the lure of worldly pleasures. My dad served the Lord his whole life, his whole 88 years. And he set such an amazing example for me to follow as a disciple of Jesus, and I owe so much to him. But when I think of a global mission legacy invested in me, when I think of my passion for global mission, my mind immediately goes to the years that he And my mum served as missionaries in what was known as the territory of New Guinea in those days. It's now known as the nation of Papua New Guinea. They served the Lord in that nation. Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" We do sing songs like, "I'll go anywhere," but we're not always tested with what we sing. People with an apostolic spirit, the word apostolic comes from the word apostle, the Greek word that means sent one, a sent one spirit. People with a sent one spirit have a willingness to go and a willingness to serve attitude at all times. They hear the call and they respond. I want to read to you right now, and you'll see a letter on the screen, a typed letter. It was from the mission board of the Apostolic Church that was written to my mum and dad in early 1962. And this is an excerpt that I'm reading from this letter right now. I'm so grateful to my parents who kept all of these kind of things that I didn't know about until my dad's passing, and I discovered these things. And just so that anybody who's a historian kind of person, they'd be thinking, surely he didn't. He didn't highlight the original, did he? I want to promise you, I photocopied it, then I highlighted the photocopy, then photographed that. The original 1962 letter is in its original form, and it's something that I will cherish my whole life. This is what they wrote to them. "After much prayer and intercession, the board was unanimous that it is the will of God for you to be called to New Guinea, to the New Guinea mission field. The matter has been placed before the council, and they likewise are unanimous as to the call. I may say that the New Zealand brethren with whom we have had telephonic communication are in agreement." Interesting. "My dad responded to the call, to this letter, to the mission field. He responded in his own handwriting, and that's the next letter you see. And he said this: 'Both Desma," that's my mum, "and I feel that this call which has come to us following the prayer, intercession and deliberations of the board and council is in accord with the purposes of our great God. We also realize that this is a call which entails a great responsibility that we ourselves feel unable to fulfill. On the other hand, we are confident that the one who has undertaken for us since leaving our home in Brisbane and enabled us to fulfill our responsibilities in the work here in Cessnock is indeed the immutable one. He is able, and because of this, we are able. Because of this and the assurance of the prayers of the saints behind us, we accept the call as from the Lord." You see, my parents got married and built a home in Brisbane, in Queensland. As a young couple, my brother was born in Brisbane, and they built this home. The home was barely finished when the same council asked them to move to Cessnock, New South Wales, a coal mining town, and to take over a small church there and to establish a Sunday school and so forth. And so they, before even finishing their brand new home for this young couple with their firstborn son, they just left that home to my dad's brother-in-law to finish the home and then put it on the market and so on. And they moved and lived in a broken down sort of little manse in Cessnock, New South Wales. That's where I was born. And they'd barely been there 2 years and they get this letter. We want you to go to the highlands of Papua New Guinea, or the highlands of New Guinea as it was then. Very, very remote and, you know, very primitive kind of lifestyle in that part of the world in the 1960s. They weren't focusing on what would seem best for their young family when they responded to that call. Where they were going to live, there was not going to be any medical support. There wasn't going to be any schools. If their children were going to be raised there, they'd be raised by faith that they wouldn't get sick, and my mum would have to teach us. That was the kind of decision. So if we were going to make a decision based on what's best for my family, that's not where you'd go. But God said, through those that they submitted to, the leaders, we believe it's the will of God that you go to this place. They said yes. So they departed for Papua New Guinea on TAA. Who remembers TAA? There's a few of us. I could share this somewhere and people would like, what was that, you know? Anyway, TAA. And then when they got to Papua New Guinea, the way to get into the highlands, the next slide tells us that, just these small Cessnas, Missionary Aviation Fellowship that still exists today and still serves God. You know, pilots risk their lives in remotest parts of the world serving in this organization. And then we ended up in the first mission station. This is a place called Mulitaka in the Enga province in Papua New Guinea. And we lived in a bush house just like that kind of grass roofed hut, etc. That was the kind of place that my parents landed at. And my mum tells the story of going in and sort of sweeping the dirt floors, because she was a clean freak. She was trying to sweep the dirt floors and then you know, it would rain, and then her kids would be outside getting all muddy, and they'd come inside and wreck the muddy floor. And she would sit down and say, "Lord, if this is missionary life, I don't think I can do this." The Great Commission, that's our eternal purpose, was an all-consuming passion for my parents. Making disciples of all nations was what motivated my dad. The unreached needed to be reached, irrespective of the personal sacrifice that might be involved. You'll see in this next slide, the kind of, they would trek over the mountains into remote villages, into places where people had not yet even placed eyes on a Western missionary. And so that was that. Then the next slide shows you some of the kind of walking and the kind of bridges that had to be crossed in that particular time. And the next slide will show you, way down in the distance at the top is the mission station. And then that's a big, huge climb up in the very bottom of that photo, that you can almost see some people there just climbing up this steep incline. Those kind of treks up the mountains, down into the valleys, up the mountains, down into the valleys, into the remote parts, days and days walk away from the mission station. And my dad, while he was in those places, would write letters to my mum. And you'd say, "Well, why would you write letters? How's she going to get them?" Well, literally, there would be young New Guinean men that would take the letter, and they would run, not these men, but I'll get to that. They would run the letter back down to my mum for, you know, maybe a couple of days away, wait for her reply and run it back, because he was away for weeks at a time. And on one of those trips, he wrote to my mum and he said to her, before I go there, let's talk about that picture. Sorry, you had a picture up there. Yes, okay. So these gentlemen, this was their very first contact with a Western person. This is the kind of remote place where the gospel had to get, as far as my dad was concerned. And so, you know, he was confronted with these guys. There's another picture, I think, after that, thanks, of some more men in a place called Lake Copiago in the Southern Highlands. And that leads me to the next one, which is the letter. And I'm sorry, I was getting ahead of myself. Thank you for bringing me back on track. So in this letter, my dad wrote to my mum and said that he'd met a tribe, or what was called a line, in Papua New Guinea, of 145 men, women and children. It was called the Aruni line. And he said that they had provided housing for him and his team, and that the Apostolic Church Mission now had a toehold in the Tumbudu River region of the Southern Highlands of Papua New Guinea, a place where the gospel had never been before. In that same letter, on the 6th of the, it was dated the 6th of the 8th, 1964, he wrote to my mum, and he said this: "Any pleasure in being here now stems not from being away from you, for that hurts, but from the work I am able to pioneer for the one who gave his life for me." And then he had the audacity to say, "I know you understand that." When she's at home with two little boys, wondering if he would ever return, because he was confronting people that, thank the Lord, were kind, and that accepted and received him, as opposed to, "You're not welcome in our place." In other letters, he wrote of the miracles on these trips. He wrote this to my mum. He said, "A man previously deaf and dumb now speaks. And he hears. A man once lame now walks. A man before unable to see is now no longer blind. The God of Moses, the God of the miraculous, he's your God and he's my God." Part of the Great Commission, our eternal purpose, is baptizing new believers. And my dad wrote just how exciting it was to be part of these baptismal services. And he wrote it in the March-April Herald of Grace, the Apostolic Church magazine. There it is, the Herald of Grace. And he wrote it, this was in March-April 1963. And he wrote about baptism services. If we can go to the next slide. These are people, candidates to be baptized. They're about to march down to the river. The next slide is the people gathering at the river, ready to go into the water, And they're at the baptism place. And then this is what he wrote in the Herald of Grace magazine to his apostolic brothers and sisters in Australia. He said, "What a thrilling sight at the water, with 4,000 locals gathered at the water. Some were up in trees, some standing in the water, and others crowding the banks, all endeavouring to obtain a good view." He went on to write, "To crown a glorious day, we all met around the Lord's table, where the 138 baptized believers received the emblems for the first time." And then there's another picture of another baptism, and my dad happens to be the one in the middle of those baptizing, just a young man in his 20s baptizing believers. Matthew 28 verse 20 says this: "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. My dad knew right from the very beginning that equipping others for kingdom purpose was so, so important. And so he would spend time with his Bible. I would assume it was a King James Version. Together with the young leaders, young Papua New Guinean leaders, and training them. And both of those men went on to be, you know, apostles in the faith and planting churches and developing leaders themselves. He got involved in building buildings. You know, we need places of worship. And this was one of the buildings that my dad oversaw the building of, even though he wasn't a builder. He had help from others, and the building was opened, and people, a representative from Australia on the left-hand side is Pastor Corr. He was representing the Australian Council, and Pastor James, the other Caucasian leader there, was representing New Zealand at the opening of that particular church on the mission station. He was passionate about seeing the Ephesians 4:11 gifts raised up and released. And if we can, Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 and 12, let me read it for you. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So as my dad and other leaders, other missionaries, equipped leaders, they in turn equipped leaders, and the result is what I shared with you earlier about what Pastor Matthew Tapu said, 500 local churches across the island, etc. Over 100,000 men, women and children serving God as apostolic Christians. Things didn't always go to plan in a pioneering missionary's life, though. In one letter to my mum, my dad wrote, "I've been to three main centres, and at each place have been told very definitely that the Apostolic Church mission is not wanted. No one could ever realise the disappointment and the heartache attached to such a cold reception. I've had to keep my spirits up so as to encourage the team with me. We've had little prayer meetings together, and it has been great consolation to know that the Lord is with us. You see, no matter what was going on, in success or seeming failure, he was confident of the abiding presence of the Lord, because Jesus said, 'I will be with you always, even to the end of the age.'" When we think of what the Papua New Guinea church is today, as I shared at the beginning, we can find those statistics interesting and encouraging, but we need to remember that it began with individuals like my dad and other faithful missionaries who had a willingness to go and serve attitude, who were obedient to the call of God, who were passionate about making disciples at all costs, who were excited about baptizing new believers and committed to equipping others for kingdom purpose and always confident of the abiding presence of the Lord. This is the heart attitude, church, we need to have toward global missions. And I'm praying for a global missions legacy to be invested in future generations. I'm praying for the Lord to raise up a new generation to take the message of the kingdom to future generations. This is a passion that I have, because what is inside me is only there because a previous generation inspired this generation to believe that we can plant churches in Cambodia. And now we have an apostolic church in Cambodia because of that passion that is inside. And my desire and my passion is to ensure that future generations do not lose the all nations of the Great Commission, that that are passionate about going and doing what God has called us to do, to realize that whilst we have a life here and we have needs here, the Lord called us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, that it doesn't stop here. We are a local church with a global passion, and it can't change. When it comes to fulfilling eternal purpose, we need to always be inspired and challenged by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18 says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all. And will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things we cannot see. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. That's really what this faith promise card is all about. Giving us an opportunity to ensure that we're storing up treasure in heaven. My dad is in heaven receiving his reward for a faithful life, realizing more than ever that he didn't really give up anything here, because what he had here is of no consequence to what he's seeing in eternity and the lives that have been impacted just through one life that says yes to Jesus. And we get a chance to store up treasure in heaven through this tool. What we do in Life Church echoes in eternity. The great missionary to China, C.T. Studd, said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Life is short. Eternity is long. May we invest our lives in things that matter for all eternity.
Amen. Wow. What an inspiring message. And wow. Wow. Who's inspired by that? Who's inspired by one generation passing on a legacy, leaving a legacy for the next generation? And how important it is for us, this generation, that we are leaving a legacy for the next generation. So important. And this is one way where we get to play a part, one way where we can partner together, one way where we can make an impact and leave a legacy for the next generation and into eternity. It's through what we call our faith promise giving. I said last night, this is like a tool in our hand to bring darkness into light, to pull down strongholds in kingdoms where there certain countries are reigned by darkness, pulling down strongholds and opening a way for the gospel to go in, that the gospel can be shared and preached to all nations. If you grab this card, if you can all just grab this card and just look at this card just for a moment. As we've gone through this before, but there's an opportunity here where you can place your name. And there's one good thing about putting your name to something. To me, it adds ownership. It adds commitment. It's optional, of course. You don't have to, but I would encourage you to put your name on that, because as I said, for me, it gives me a sense of ownership and a sense of commitment. This is what I'm committing to for the next 12 months. There's an option here to tick first or second. If you've already filled out a card and you're feeling the Holy Spirit speak to you and you want to fill out another card, then you tick second and fill this card out. Make sure you put your name on it so we know. We can cancel out the first card. But if you haven't filled a card in before, please tick first. And as you see there in that next section, it's about the regularity of giving, whether it be weekly, fortnightly, monthly, whether it be a one-off. But can I just say, we have monthly commitments that we give to Wasawa. There's Indonesia. There's Center for Change. So there are monthly commitments that we need to honour. And so having money coming in for Faith Promise is we need it. Okay? And then there's how much. You can put the amount how much you want to give. Can we just dim the lights just for a moment? Not too dark, because we want to fill these out. If anyone here needs a pen, can you just please put your hand up? If you need a pen to fill out this card, I need a pen to fill out this card. So can someone please give me a pen? Don't make it too dark where we can't see, where we need to be able to write. So I think it's a little bit dark. Can we just lift the lights a little bit? Thank you. I read out of Hebrews last night, just a couple of scriptures. At the beginning of Hebrews 11 verse 6, it actually says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The writer to the Hebrews is not talking about salvation. He's not talking about saving faith. He's talking about faith that is expressed in works. For example, after he makes that statement, he writes about Abraham, who heard from God and he left his homeland to go to a land that God had promised him, even though he hadn't seen that land. He talks about Moses. He talks about Joshua. He talks about the heroes of the faith. It's not saving faith, it's faith expressed in works. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you to take this card for a moment. And maybe you have filled out one of these cards. But just in this very moment right now, I want us just to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows our heart. He knows the motive of our heart. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, have I added faith to what I've put down on this card? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Holy Spirit, are you pleased with what I've put on this card? I want us just to sit for a moment, and I want us just to seek the Holy Spirit. This is not about you and me. This is not about you and Dream Builders Church. This is about you and God. This is about making a commitment to see the gospel go out to the nations of the world. And it is a faith promise card. We give by faith. Just for this moment, right now, I want you just to ask the Holy Spirit, with what I'm about to give, are you pleased with that? And ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to give? This is what I can give. What is it that you want me to give? That second statement on this card, it says, my faith promise represents what I can do through good stewardship in the natural with an added element of faith. Faith is so important when it comes to giving, when it comes to going, when it comes to serving. I love that what Dale said about the apostolic, a person with an apostolic spirit. They say yes to going, they say yes to serving, and I know they say yes to giving. So if you want to just write out this card, fill this card out, and we're going to collect this in a moment. There's a little tag right here. There's a little tag right here that you can rip off. You can put your details down, rip off, and keep that for yourself. Put that on the fridge. So every time you go to the fridge, you're reminded of the faith step that you are making. You're reminded of the responsibility that we all have of not only praying for the nations, but playing a part in partnering together to bring light into darkness, to bring the gospel into the places where the gospel's never been heard before. I've mentioned this before. 3.4 billion people on planet Earth today have never, ever heard the gospel message. They are classed as unreached. 42.5%. That's a staggering statistic. And it may not mean much to us, but I'll tell you what, it means everything to God, because He died for them. He had created them placed eternity in their hearts. So I'm going to give you a moment right now to fill this card out. If you need to fill out this card again, you need to put down that second, scribble out that, or cross that second spot there. This is all about leaving a legacy for the next generation, echoing a sound throughout the generations and into eternity. Karen said last night, you don't want to get to the end of your life and feel like you've lived an unfulfilled life. You don't want to get to the end of your life and feel like, you know what, I've got regrets. I could have done more. I could have given more. I could have spoken more. Our life is but a vapor, like steam on a hot cup of coffee. 1 minute it's there, the next minute it's gone.